de Mikes.
Y Rommel Caja Vilca en la producción técnica, la compaginación y la selección musical.
And Rommel Caja Vilca in the technical production, edition and music selection.
Manténgase en la sintonía de CKUT, nuestro próximo programa de International Radio Report.
Stay tuned to CKUT. Next, the International Radio Report.
Tengan todos ustedes.
You are listening to the International Radio Report. Your reactions are much appreciated. Feel free to send them to radioreport@yahoo.com. That is radioreport@yahoo.com. Thank you.
Welcome, everyone, to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Our show for June the 27th, 2021. My name is Sheldon. I am here with Jill, and we thank you for joining us for 30 minutes of news and information about the world of radio. We thank you for tuning in. You can contact us if you wish. Questions, comments, suggestions. Our email address is radioreport@yahoo.com. You can listen to us live streaming or archived at ckut.ca, the website for CKUT Radio here in Montreal. And our Facebook group is called International Radio Report. We welcome Stefan and Dale, two new members joining us this week. And our YouTube channel, which you can find at youtube.com/International Radio Report. We have 371 subscribers there now. You can find our show posted up there each week within an hour or so after the live broadcast airs on Sunday mornings. So lots of opportunities for you to access our show, and you can go back and listen to older shows there, as well as some special editions of the program that are only available exclusively on the YouTube channel. So we have a number of different stories from a number of different places around the planet today. So we'll get things going with a local story from our CBC domestic service here in Montreal on 88.5 FM. And this comes from Steve Faggy of the Fagstein blog here in Montreal. Steve is also a reporter, writer at the Montreal Gazette. His headline is CBC Cancels Daybreak's Taste Test Music Column. This is a weekly feature on the morning show, the weekday morning show on 88.5, where Brendan Kelly, who's also a columnist at the Montreal Gazette, introduces the audience to new music, all different genres, all different artists. Anyways, Brendan Kelly will get to sleep in now on Wednesdays, his weekly Taste Test column, in which he introduces Daybreak listeners to new music, has been canceled after many years, effective immediately. Neither Kelly nor the CBC offered any comment on this news when Steve asked them about it, and neither would confirm nor deny it explicitly. Steve did manage to get an update. After he posted his story, Brendan Kelly confirmed the news on a Twitter posting. He says, quote, "I can confirm that I was told earlier this week my taste test column on CBC Radio's Daybreak has been cut. They say they'll get their music elsewhere. I've been doing this for years and years, so I'd just like to thank all the faithful listeners who tuned in and texted in." And that's on his Twitter feed at Brendan Showbiz. This is a really strange story. We talked about the ratings a couple weeks back in Montreal, and CBC Montreal is climbing up the ratings. And they only have a couple local shows. They have their Daybreak show, they have a Radio Noon show, and they have a Home Run Drive Home show. Yet they're creeping up, closing in on Virgin Radio, one of the FM music stations in Montreal. This is something new for CBC. They normally don't do well in Montreal, but their CBC Radio 1 in English has been inching its way up the ratings. This is a very popular feature, and I don't think anybody really understands, probably Brendan himself, as to why they pulled the plug on it now, of all times, when You know, we keep seeing weird things going on in radio, and I guess this is just another one of those unexplained decisions. I mean, this is a really different type of feature. Like, what he does each week is he takes a new release, a new album, and he will alternate quite often. Sometimes he'll play a Quebec-based French artist, then he'll play some international artist the next week, and then a local artist the following week. And it's very interactive. They get comments from the rest of the morning crew on the music that he plays. They take a lot of text messages. You know, they really want people to react. You know, how do you like this new record? I don't know. It seems to be one of the really popular features on the program, and now it's gone. And as you say, they'll get their music elsewhere. Well, what are they going to do? You know, they don't play a lot of music on the program. It's not a music station. It's more or less a news talk station. So this is a kind of a neat little feature to run once a week. And hey, it's only once a week. Yeah. Besides it, you know, it's not like they can't be paying the guy a lot of money for this. So I don't think it's a financial thing. But anyways, it's kind of a sad story. And not sure. At least Brendan's got a number of outlets, you know, to reach the public and other media. But this is one that I think a lot of people will miss.
So there's some big news these days of declined shortwave. There's a return of a Canadian station on the air. No, not Radio Canada International. Sorry. I don't want to put your hopes up. This is a story by Dan Robinson via the Shortwave Listening Post. It is rare, not super rare, that we get any good news these days about shortwave broadcasting. Remember the excitement a few years ago when Guinea returned to shortwave? Then Nigeria returned, but that has kind of become intermittent now. A station has returned to shortwave, one of the stations that was absent for some time. CFVP, the low-power relay of 1060 kHz AM in Calgary, Alberta, returned to 6030 kHz with the help of amateur radio operators. The station had been off the air through 2019. The last time it was reported was in late 2018, when it was relaying CKMX 1060 AM in Calgary. According to a note posted on the World of Radio Group, two engineers from Bell Media, Dale and Jerry, who are also hams, VA6AD and V6QCT, respectively, rebuilt the transmitter, partially with ham radio parts, and repaired the connection to the antenna with a temporary matching network. The temporary matching network means that not all of the 100 watts are going into the antenna. According to Harold Sellers, who is acting as EQSL manager for the reactivated shortwave station, CFVP 6030 went back on the air and he was not able to hear it until later on June 19th. Best reception was via SDR sites in southern Alberta, northern Montana, Idaho, and up in Edmonton, Alberta. Programming consists of straight comedy routines from funny 1060 AM, the Calgary station that carries old recordings of stand-up comedians with local IDs and ads mixed in every few minutes. So I was able to actually hear it via the Lamont, Alberta SDR, the V6JY SDR. It came in very well for about an hour, then it faded out. But it's easy to recognize that you're listening to the station. I mean, there's not a lot of comedy routines on shortwave in general. So this is low power, 100 watts. It's going to be a tough one. And one of the biggest problems here in North America, Radio Marti is on 6030 all evening. And that one is a powerhouse. So it's difficult for a lot of people to actually receive it. I think the best is to try late afternoon before Radio Marti gets on. But honestly, mostly with local SDRs around the Alberta area.
Yeah, I'm not sure how long is Marti on 6030, because possibly very early morning might be a good shot to try for the Calgary station.
From 0 to 0:05, and then from 10 to 12 UT.
Okay, so maybe in that opening between their two transmissions of Radio Marti, that might be a good time to give it a shot as well.
So after 0:05, huh? That's interesting. It's 1 a.m. here in the East Coast. I'm going to try that one after 0:05. Actually, on Monday, it goes to 0:05. Every other day, it goes to 0:04.
Okay.
So midnight Eastern, Radio Marti signs off. The other problem that could arise from this is the famous Cuban jamming of Marti that often is never turned off.
Yeah, that's true. That could be another issue. But, it, you know, it's fun to get a new DX target.
Yep.
And this is certainly a DX target, I mean, with very low power.
Absolutely.
And, you know, what's good, though, is very unique programming. So it is going to stand out if you, you know, if you hear comedy routines and a bunch of laughter and what have you. It's, you know, you're going to be pretty sure that you've got the right station, the right signal coming through. I was reading something else about this station being reactivated, and there are a number of stations using this comedy format. I know not just the Calgary station, but there's some U.S. stations on medium wave using this format. So kind of an odd one. But anyways, you know, the AM band has become that sort of, you know, strange formats and what have you. So anyways, check it out. It's 6030 kilohertz and their call letters CFVP. We have Canada Day coming up. Canada's National Day is coming up on July the 1st. And we've got news from Bill Tilford via Glenn Hauser's World of Radio, a special broadcast coming up, marking the occasion. July 1st from 10 to 11 p.m. Eastern Daylight, which is July 2nd, 02 to 03 UTC. WBCQ The Planet on 6160 and 7490. We'll be airing a special called Canada Day, but the day is spelled D'EH, sort of a playoff on what other people say Canadians say all the time, eh?
Yep.
So Canada Day broadcast. July 1st is Canada Day, and since RCI is no longer blessing shortwave listeners with its presence on the shortwaves, Fred Waterer, a genuine Canadian, and Uncle Bill Tilford, an American who is frequently mistaken for one, will present Canada Day, an affectionate salute to the occasion with music, humor, fun facts, and stories on WBCQ The Planet, which is right next door to Canada, up in northern Maine, with time donated by Angela and Alan Wiener, the owners of WBCQ. So that's kind of neat. It's I don't remember anybody having done this before, paying tribute to Canada.
That's cool.
So that is nice. Again, July 1st, 10 to 11 p.m. Eastern, which is July 2nd, 02 to 03, and the frequencies 6160 and 7490 kilohertz for the Canada Day broadcast.
Two frequencies that usually are pretty good, and you'll hear everything from A to Z.
Exactly.
So the famous woodpecker is now a cultural heritage site, and this is via the Southgate Amateur Radio News. From the 1970s until the Chernobyl nuclear disaster, the Soviets' over-the-horizon radar woodpecker caused severe interference in the amateur radio bands and on shortwave international broadcast bands also. A article on Vice says that Ukraine has declared that the enormous Duga-1 radar array is a protected cultural monument. Almost 2,300 feet long and 450 feet high, the steel beams of the radar tower over the surrounding forest. From a distance, it appears to be a massive wall or the start of a cage. The Association of Chernobyl Tour Operators first announced that Ukraine had made Duga-1 a protected heritage site on its Facebook page. Interfax, a Russian news service, later reported the official designation. Our heritage is not only the area around the power plant, but also the buildings located on its territory. Oleksandr Katchenko, Ukraine Minister of Cultural and Information Policy, said in a Telegram thread about the announcement. So now we are working on identifying other objects that should be part of the list of monuments. Our goal is to prevent destruction when possible. When Duga-1 came online sometimes in the mid-70s, radio operators around the world noticed a strange signal coming from the forests of Ukraine. The system was so powerful, it disrupted some frequencies with an irritating thumping noise. Amateur radio operators dubbed the signal's source the Russian woodpecker. Because of the repeated tapping noise, it is pumped into ham radios. And that was something very, very present on shortwave. I remember when I started, the woodpecker, you would hear that everywhere. And there's, by the way, an equivalent today, but it is not related to this system. It's a brand new system that Russia has now. But this is cool to see that they want to preserve part of shortwave history, basically, with the Russian woodpecker site.
Yeah, there are some videos you can check out on site of some people who've actually gone to the Duga 1 yep. site and climbed up the towers and taken some really impressive shots and video from there. It is very close to Chernobyl, though, so it's it's kind of funny, the Association of Chernobyl Tour Operators. I wonder, you know, when they threw that thing together, because it's been a long time since you know, they've wanted, did not want people going to that area, but it is becoming kind of one of these quirky little places that people want to visit. So
yeah, I would be one of them. I would like to go there and see what it's like. It's a lot of fun. I'm sure it's a lot of fun to see all that, and it must be very impressive.
I would think so, yeah.
So what's happening with the sun? Well, nothing much this week. It was very quiet. There was a sunspot group 2833 that is rotating out of view pretty much. It's stable, no strong flares, no real geomagnetic storm. It was rather quiet, and solar flux hovered between about 75 and 80 all week. So quiet conditions. It's summer propagation now. Midday is probably the worst part of the day to listen to shortwave. You're better off in later in the afternoon, evening, and night. And, well, what's coming up for the week ahead? Nothing really significant showing up. Another quiet week. So the best thing to do is turn on that radio and listen.
Our next story takes us to, well, the story itself, some people may wonder, well, why are you talking about this on a program about radio? Well, we'll get to the radio part of it in a couple minutes. There's a definite connection to radio here with this story. The headline from AP News via Glenn Hauser and World of Radio is U.S. takes down Iran-linked news sites, alleges disinformation. The story is out of Dubai, Associated Press. American authorities seized a range of Iran's state-linked news website domains they accused of spreading disinformation, the U.S. Justice Department said Tuesday, a move that appeared to be a far-reaching crackdown on Iranian media amid heightened tensions between the two countries. The Justice Department said 33 of the seized websites were used by the Iranian Islamic Radio and Television Union, which was singled out by the U.S. government last October for what officials described as efforts to spread disinformation and sow discord among American voters ahead of the 2020 presidential election. The U.S. said three other seized websites were operated by the Iraqi Shiite paramilitary group Kataib Hezbollah, which more than a decade ago was designated a foreign terrorist organization. The group is separate from the Lebanese militant Hezbollah group, whose news websites remain operational. The website domains are owned by U.S. companies, but despite the sanctions, neither the IRTVU nor KH obtained the required licenses from the U.S. government before using the domain names, according to the Justice Department. The department's announcement came hours after the Iranian state-run news agency IRNA revealed the U.S. government's seizure without providing further information. On Tuesday, visiting the addresses of a handful of sites, including Iran State Television's English language arm Press TV, Yemeni Houthi-run Al-Masira satellite news channel, and Iranian State TV's Arabic language channel Al-Alam, produced a federal takedown notice. It said the websites were seized as part of law enforcement action by the U.S. Bureau of Industry and Security, Office of Export Enforcement, and the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The U.S. government also took over the domain names of news website Palestine Today, which reflects the views of Gaza-based Islamic militant groups Hamas and Islamic Jihad, redirecting the site to the same takedown notice. Press TV, launched in June 2007, is the state-run Islamic Republic of Iran Broadcasting's English language service. Its Iran-based website, PressTV.ir, was not affected. Most of the domains seized appeared to be .net, .com, and .tv domains. The first two are generic top-level domains, while TV is owned by the Pacific Island nation of Tuvalu, but administered by the U.S. company VeriSign. Seizing a domain of a major country-specific top-level domain, such as Iran's .ir, would be apt to produce widespread international condemnation as a violation of sovereignty. This isn't the first time that the U.S. has seized domain names of sites it accuses of spreading disinformation. Last October, the Department of Justice announced the takedown of nearly 100 websites linked to Iran's powerful Revolutionary Guard. The U.S. said the sites operating under the guise of genuine news outlets were waging a global disinformation campaign to influence U.S. policy and push Iranian propagation around the world. There are no private television or radio stations in Iran. Satellite dishes, while widespread, are also illegal. So that leaves the IRIB with a monopoly on the domestic airwaves. And there is the radio connection.
Yep. One of the biggest problems with this, of course, is when you start censoring the internet, removing what you don't want to see. At the other end, of course, in a country where everything is controlled by the government, why radio is important. Shortwave radio has no boundaries. It cannot be simply deleted from the internet. It's a radio signal. And so both sides here to understand that shortwave radio is really nice for information. The country of Iran, the population of Iran, through BBC, through Radio France, through all the different shortwave outlets, can actually get other news than what the government is actually giving them. The fine line here, and what's making it difficult, is, first of all, what is truth? And that's a very difficult thing, depending on what nation you are. And the other thing with that is anything can be taken down. So radio is important here because that signal is going to go through and it's not going to be taken down.
It's also important for the people in the country of Iran as well. You know, if they're outlawing satellite dishes and the internet is being controlled with very simple portable shortwave radios that are very inconspicuous that people can use, you know, in the safety of their own homes, they would have the ability to tune into foreign broadcasts targeting them in Iran, for example. You know, they say that you can listen to both sides of the story and the truth lies somewhere in the middle.
Yep, absolutely.
So to be able to hear both sides, the same for us, you know, it'd be really nice for us to hear the broadcast, what is coming out of a country like Iran, listen to what's coming out of the United States, for example, listening to what's coming from neutral countries, and try and find the middle ground somewhere. Without these shortwave broadcasts, what do those people have available to them? What do we have available to us? I think the governments, you know, the decision makers that have shut down so many of these international services are doing a huge disservice to not themselves, only themselves, but the population of the world as well. So, a story like this is really important to look at and realize what's going on out there. And again, you know, of how fortunate so many of us are to have access to everything. But there are as many, if not more, people around the world who don't have that luxury.
Absolutely.
And without those radio broadcasts, they're really missing out on a lot of options that were available to them in the past that just aren't there anymore.
There was a perfect example last week when we talked about that clandestine station. There are clandestine shortwave stations that pop up here and there to target certain communities in Iran or in the, you know, in the Persian Gulf area. And so each one has their own, you know, voice, its own things to say. But even us, how many times over, I can tell you, so many times over the last 40 years of shortwave listening, I have found that it was interesting to have the viewpoint of others about events even happening in Canada.
Definitely, yeah. You just need more sources of information and to be able to balance them out and you know, discount the ones that you know just, you know, are way overboard or way off the scale, and then try to find the counterbalance somewhere else.
Absolutely.
If you're limited, it's like if you only had one TV station to watch.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it just wouldn't work. You know, you wouldn't be happy with that. So in more important things like finding out what's going on, you know, even Iran, to listen to what other broadcasters, countries are saying about them.
Yeah.
I remember in the days of the Cold War, you know, leaders of the Soviet bloc countries were reported as listening to shortwave to hear what's the Voice of America saying about us, what's the BBC saying about us. You know, this happened all the time. Gorbachev in Russia was an avid shortwave listener because he wanted to hear what others were saying about him, not just what his own country was saying. So, you know, those days are dwindling. Those sources of information like that are disappearing every day. And it's really kind of sad. And then when you see this type of story where they might be able to get alternative information, sites being shut down and what have you, that gatekeeper comes into play, that word that's so important and so disturbing in some cases, knowing that if some people just want to shut things down and block you from hearing them or looking at them, they can very easily do it.
And it's your voice. It's your unique voice of who you are in the world.
You know, that's it. With shortwave broadcasting over the years, we've been able to learn so much about so many different parts of the world that often never get talked about in, you know, in local, national or domestic broadcasting of any kind or in our newspapers or what have you. I think shortwave listeners in general were a little bit more world savvy of things going on out there. You know, and that's kind of sad to have lost a lot of that access. Sure, we have the internet, but, you know, it's not necessarily the same thing. Yeah.
It's time for the ham radio contests.
Yes, and we'll start things off with Canada Day once again, coming up for the second time in our program today. And it is the Radio Amateurs of Canada annual event called the RAC Canada Day Contest. It's the full day, 0000 to 2359, July the 1st. That's the Zulu times, UTC times. Each year on July 1st, the anniversary of Canada's Confederation, Radio Amateurs of Canada sponsors the RAC Canada Day contest, and amateurs all over the world are invited to celebrate Canada's birthday party on the air. So it's on all the major bands, 160 through all the way through 2 meters. So 6 meters and 2 meters involved as well. It's CW and phone. You can do it in SSB, in FM mode, AM mode, whatever you like. And there are suggested frequencies for the CW, 25 kilohertz up from the edge of the bands. And for SSB, they give a bunch of recommended frequencies. Check for CW activity on the half hour. And interesting, it is a contest. You can accumulate points. But what's really neat is during the contest, each province's official Radio Amateurs of Canada station is on the air. So VA3, RAC, they all end in RAC. So you can go looking for them, try to get them from all provinces and all territories. And each of those, if you're in the contest, is worth an extra 10 points. So 20 points for every time you either contact, or if you're a shortwave listener, if you hear the VA or the VE RAC stations, you can even get special certificates for those as well. So we'll put all the details of this contest up in a link on our Facebook page for you. It's a lot of fun. I've participated in the contest many times over the years, and it's neat to hear all parts of Canada on the bands.
It's a lot of fun for radio listeners also. There's the DLDX RTTY contests, 11 Zulu, July 3rd to 10:59 Zulu, July 4th, sponsored and organized by the German DX RTTY contest group. The mode is RTTY only, and all bands, 3.5 to 30 megahertz, excluding 10, 18, and 24 megahertz.
And finally, we have the Marconi Memorial HF contest, sponsored by the Italian Amateur Radio Association, 1400 Zulu, July 3rd to 1400 Zulu, July 4th. The Marconi Memorial Contest HF commemorates the second century of radio and its father, Marconi. It's a worldwide competition. Everybody can work everybody, but the mode is CW only. It is 10 meters through 160 meters, except the work bands. It is the end. We thank you for tuning in. We'll be back again next Sunday with another 30 minutes of news and information. If you have anything you want to share with us, stories you might want to pass along to us, we always appreciate your input. Either email radioreport@yahoo.com or join our Facebook group, International Radio Report, where you can post up your comments and messages and stories there for us. And of course, our YouTube channel is available at International Radio Report. Have a great week, everyone, and we will talk to you again next week. Happy Canada Day to all our Canadian Absolutely. Listeners out there. Okay.